Mayor Shear?
Yes. Councilmember Beebe is excused.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Goodwin?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
And Councilmember Taylor is excused. There are no appointments or announcements. I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. This is now the time for public comments. First is wishing to address the city council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you desire a formal agenda placement, please contact the city clerk. Is there anybody that wants to speak? Yes.
So my name is Peter Kelleman. That's K-E-L-E-M-E-N. I live at 32016 224th Avenue Southeast, Kent. That's just outside city limits, 101 Pines. Hello, Mayor and Council. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm part of a group of volunteers that circulated a petition in Black Diamond regarding the Arrow Bay development, and I'd like to read the text of this petition. To all those who seek to represent us in City Hall, we believe that the Yarrow Bay development is wrong for our rural town. It's too big, it's going too fast, and it's the wrong kind of development. We support reasonable long-term growth that respects the quality of life of our residents and the success of our existing small businesses. We oppose tax subsidies and special accommodations for Yarrow Bay. We oppose loopholes that damage our environment. We're united in our commitment to protect this special area. Is Black Diamond. We support you when you stand firm against Yarrow Bay's legal threats and lobbying pressure. Please earn our votes by doing more to hold developers accountable and protect us against irresponsible development practices. So in a relatively short time, a small and dedicated group of volunteers gathered over 300 signatures on this petition. The overwhelming majority of people we were able to talk to eagerly signed these petitions. So personally, I am concerned that the council may decide not to collect any government facilities impact fees from the Yarrow Bay construction. I believe this will cause hardship to the people of Black Diamond for today as well as for future residents. Failure to collect impact fees today will require future taxes to take care of the impacts created by this unprecedented growth. And that the tax burden created by the Yarrow Bay growth will make people unwilling and unable to pay more taxes for other things that would otherwise enable future generations to enjoy life here. I am worried that this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, never to be repeated. And once this opportunity passes, it's gone. The city should explore what it can safely use from the government facilities plan and pass an impact fee. To my very uneducated eye, seems like this would be a simple mathematical exercise. The growth predicted will increase Black Diamond's population by 400%, a substantially greater change than expected in the surrounding communities. So we need to be careful when using comparison figures from surrounding communities like Covington or Maple Valley or Issaquah. The changes that go on inside city limits here does not happen in isolation. For example, I know that I and my neighbors in 101 Pines will be challenged by the magnitude of growth in road traffic, and that while changes to intersections like traffic lights or traffic circles will help, it will not mitigate the increase in road traffic with all the additional cars, trucks, and buses. And I feel that we will incur county and state taxes to pay for road repair, new road constructions, and the like. So thank you for your time.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Robin?
Robin Taylor, 32110 Botts Drive, Black Diamond. Good evening, Mayor, Council. This is not what I was prepared to speak on tonight, so I'll use that for my second portion of the public comments. I would just like to inform the people behind me that the city did do a study on the government facilities impact fee. Yarrow Bay had put a placeholder into the development agreement or the MPD, whichever it was, and when the study came out with a much higher fee for impact fees, Yarrow Bay threatened to sue. Yarrow Bay has threatened this city to sue multiple times since this council came and sat on the bench, and this council has not blinked once. In fact, this council took it to court and said, can they sue us on a draft? And they were said, no, they could not sue on a draft. So Yarrow Bay pitched a fit and threatened to sue, and the court threw it out. The reason that that development out west of town is still sitting there cleared and not developed is because this council repealed the CFD that the original council passed on the last night that they were holding office. When the next ones came in, they repealed it. When Yarrow Bay came back with it again, they did not accept it. They could not develop that land without that CFD, even though they told the citizens and the council that they could. Proof is they couldn't. You guys have propagandized that this council has been for Yarrow Bay, and that is not the case. They have not blinked in the face of Yarrow Bay when every time they threw down the sue card. This council has not blinked. Yarrow Bay has had to back down, and that's why that area out there does not have any buildings on it.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Mike?
Mike Ergang, 22505 Southeast 329th Street, Black Diamond. I wish to urge this council to accept the government facility study before the deadline as quickly as possible, with the at least the recommended fee of $58.66 per unit. I say at least because not doing so constitutes a subsidy for this development, and I wish to just remind everybody present today that this development is already receiving a great number of subsidies from the taxpayer. First of all, directly from Black Diamond, several years ago when the previous city council passed a tree ordinance. The tree ordinance is one of the many ways that the city recovers the cost of development, of cost of infrastructure, from anytime anybody builds a house. And the tree ordinance was one of the last ones in which the MPD got to be exempt from paying any fees because of the alleged benefits that they would bring to this community. In fact, they're going to destroy this community. So if somebody wants to go out and build a house, they have to pay a tree fee. So how many millions of dollars of tree fee did these people not pay and were they exempt from, which constitutes a subsidy when they clear cut that land? That's from the city of Black Diamond. From the taxpayers in this room, another enormous and hideous taxpayer subsidy that they're getting, not from the city of Black Diamond, but from the Enumclaw School District, is in every other place in this country that I've lived, new developers have to pay for school development whenever they build a school. There is a $300 million unfunded development cost for the schools that the state will obligate be built for this development that will have to be absorbed by the taxpayers of the Enumclaw School District. Then, for the taxpayers of King County, this development will require more sewage and water capability than is currently available. And so the taxpayers of King County as a whole, and all of us are taxpayers of King County, will have to pay for that additional development. And for the taxpayers of the state of Washington, this development is going to destroy the ability to transport people back and forth to the main places of work in this area. And eventually there will have to be a four-lane highway all the way back to 405. And that was studied several years ago by Maple Valley and estimated at another $300 million. So these people are already receiving well in excess of $600 million, which works out to $100,000 per unit of taxpayer subsidy. You can't let them receive another $6,000 of subsidy from this study. In fact, I think you should charge them a much higher fee than that. Thank you very much.
Mike, do you have that in writing? I can respond to all those. I'm not going to tonight, but I can respond to everything that you brought up, and you are wrong on every single issue.
Every one of those was brought up during the hearings.
Have a bond. What's the bond issue that we have for the trees? They have a bond. I don't remember what it is. But they have a bond, and they have to put new trees in, or they sacrifice the bond, and then we plant the trees. They didn't get away free with the trees.
Okay. And
but that's okay. But I'm not going to argue
district,
with you.
The school district now,
I
that
was not on
cut.
That council, and I'm not going to accept responsibility.
Okay,
for
well,
that
it wasn't
agreement.
The council. It was their friends in the Enumclaw School Board, but it's still a subsidy
Mike,
that you are
you're
paying.
You're done. Excuse
okay.
me, please. Does anybody else want to speak? Come on up.
Gwendolyn Vukic, 15626 Southeast 352nd Street, Auburn. No, I am not a member of your community. My grandparents and great-grandparents were part of the founding fathers of this community. They came up from Black Diamond when the coal mines were done in California, their area. I'm concerned about what you're doing, or rather what you are not doing. And that is, again, the facilities impacts fees. When we have been here several, you've seen me lots of times, and we always heard that this development would pay for the development. Without impacts fees, that is not going to happen. The people of Black Diamond will pay and pay and pay. And it is just not fair. I do not want to stand by and watch the community that I have watched for my entire life go down the tubes. And that is what is going to happen. You just need to look ahead and see what is going to happen with this huge development as they come in, build their houses, build their apartments, build their commercial, and leave. And the people that are left are going to have to pay that for that year after year. Thank you. I want you to consider or reconsider. Apparently you have already considered this issue. But you have a few days. Don't let that timeline go by and just push it aside. It's too important. The life of this city, it's going to be a city with 20,000 more people here, is at stake. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Cindy?
Cindy Wheeler, 30221 234th Avenue Southeast. I'm also here for the same issue that all these other people showed up. So I came back from travel out of the country, and I am shocked to read in the newspaper last Friday the letter that Gary Farmer submitted, although I now understand it's nearly identical to a letter that was published in another paper with Jamie's signature. And item number 5 says failure to adopt a government facilities impact fee. And I'm like, what? This is news to me. And so the first thing I would like to tell you is that As elected representatives, communication is really important, and that means listening, and it also means talking. And I will tell you that I do my very best to be an informed and involved citizen, and sometimes that's a real challenge, the way this city is set up and it currently runs. But I have stayed in touch, and not once in a City Connection newsletter, not once in a mayoral report, not in any council reports, not at any town hall meetings, has anybody mentioned in the 19 months since we had the public hearing and the study was adopted by this council that you all were planning to fail us, fail to act. To me, it's not acceptable communication to have the mayor's husband inform me that we're going to drop the ball on some $13 to $18 million action, and that myself, my husband, and my children, who are now landowners in this city as well, will all be paying Yarrow Bay's share. When we annexed into the city, we were promised growth would pay for growth. Your failure to adopt this fee is a failure to make that come true. Craig, I stood in this very room with you in September of 2009. You weren't a council member yet. And you said in the draft EIS testimony, this development must pay for itself, and it cannot be paid for with special fees, levies, and taxes on the people. Guess what? That's exactly the way this has gone down. I want to tell you that this is not the first multi-million dollar break that you've given Yarrow Bay. This is the second time in 60 days that you've opted, taken options, whether it's taking over the water district and now this, that gives Yarrow Bay multi-million dollar breaks. I'm not getting any multi-million dollar breaks. Tonight on your agenda, you plan to raise my property taxes the full maximum 1% allowed, as you did last year and the year before and the year before that. And you never miss those deadlines, right? It's right here in your paperwork. King County has a deadline of December 4th. So right on time, here you are, adopting the taxes against me. I want you to be equitable. I want you to be fair. And for you to continue to forget or miss deadlines, to put in the taxes that were in the development agreement against Yarrow Bay is not fair and equitable. Your husband's letter goes on to say, this mayor and council are facing the consequences of past poor management and direction. Not for this government mitigation fee. This is all on y'all. You were all here when that study was done. I'm sad that our incumbents didn't bother to come tonight, but Ron Taylor and Tammy Deedy went on field trips with these study people. It was a $190,000 study, and you're going to flush that down the toilet? You and the staff couldn't manage to make anything usable out of that? That's appalling, and it's unprofessional. I don't hardly even know what to say, but you were given an 11-month extension that was not properly and legally noticed. Surprise, surprise. And with 19 months for you to manage to do nothing but give another tax break to Yarrow Bay and spend my children's inheritance makes me most unhappy with all of you. I disagree with Ms. Taylor that you've all stood firm in the eyes of legal threats. Yes, Yarrow Bay did take you to court 2 times the summer after you adopted the fee. Yes, they did lose, but they're still threatening to take you. I don't know, since y'all won't communicate with me and only Mr. Farmer will tell me you're not taking this, I don't know for what reason you failed to act, but you owe us better answers than you've given us to date.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak? Kristen?
Hello, Mayor Benson and City Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I'm at 1006 139th Place Northeast in Bellevue. And I'm a fourth-generation product of the city of Black Diamond. I also am concerned that the city – oh, I'm sorry. My comments aren't too long. I also am concerned that the city has not adopted a government facilities impact fee. The city study and government facilities plan completed last year indicated that the costs for City Hall, police station, municipal court, and public works facilities will be over $48 million if the city reaches 19,000 residents. The development agreement clearly indicated that the developer, development staff, and the city attorney in 2011 expected a large need and an impact fee. They agreed to pay one in the development agreement, and this is a voluntary agreement that authorizes the city council to adopt a fee by ordinance. If a fee isn't passed, how will the city pay for all these unmet needs? We have heard that the city expenses go up 2% every year, while the revenue only goes up 1%. Short-term taxes on construction materials will easily be used up as they are needed for other services. Can the city please consider any and all alternatives? The Makers Group and their partners that completed the study are top-notch at impact fees, and their government facilities plan has a great amount of important and valid information. One thing I saw recently was a comparison to Issaquah. Issaquah has a government facilities impact fee, and it's based on the same impact fee consultant's work. Issaquah's fee is less, but this is to account for a much larger city with growth of only about 25%, not growth of 400%. Please make growth pay for growth and do not let this cost be passed on to others when it is the developer's responsibility. Another comment that I wanted to add is this decision not to do a government facilities charge is a legislative decision. Before deciding not to do it, there should have been a public hearing and public process. When the decision was made, when was the decision made and who made it? I have heard that the city wanted to update the study but did not have the money. If Yarrow Bay said that they would not fund the study to be updated, then that seems to be a violation of the development agreement funding agreement. That at least should warrant a legal discussion, and it should occur before the deadline. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Go ahead. Mr. Bryant.
Mayor and Council, I'm William Bryant, and I live at 25100 Roberts Drive. And that was my daughter that was just speaking, or one of them. And I support what she has to say, because I really don't want to pay a lot of taxes for someone else. I mean, I can't afford to. I have to move away. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have two public hearings today. The first one is the proposed ordinance adopting the 2016 property tax increase. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. King County has sent us notice that we have to get two property tax ordinances into them by December 4th. And per state law, we have to have them adopted before November 30th. I prepared two ordinances that King County requires. The first one sets the dollar amount of property tax. I sent the ordinance and the agenda bill to King County to make sure we had included all the correct amounts and percentages and wording. This first ordinance includes the 1% property tax increase. That's $14,535 for all the business and all the citizens to be divided equally, or divided by King County based on property values. They also would like us to include a refund of $1,054. In addition to that, the statements they sent us are preliminary, so they ask us to go ahead and adopt an amount that's higher than that to allow for the final new construction amounts that they will be adding in. They will reduce the amount down to exactly what the new construction is and these other amounts I've included. So this just sets the maximum dollar amount of the levy. The second ordinance asks that we state how many exact dollars the base amount will go up over last year and what percent of increase that is. And they've calculated that and included in the worksheet. That exact amount of all the increase over last year's base is $11,215, which is less than even the fire increase in the budget. That is not 1%, it's only 0.77%, because they actually adjust their base. And so these are the numbers they gave me to include in the ordinances. I reviewed these with the Finance Committee, and they've recommended to bring it forward to you. And I've also reviewed these with our city attorney. If you have any questions, I've also attached some the worksheets that King County sent me.
Council member?
There was a few things that I noticed that I needed to have clarified just for myself. When it says here on your first bill, on the last line, all of Black Diamond's property tax funds are used for public safety. Mm-hmm. And those provide only 64% of the revenue needed to cover the public safety costs. Can you tell me all of these funds that for the public safety designation, are these all the funds for the public safety designation, or are these all the funds that come in from
this
the property tax?
The property tax, this is 100% of the property tax that comes in, and we provide the funding for all the public safety, police, fire, emergency service, and that does not give enough money. Even with 100% of the property tax, we still have to put in all the utility tax and many other sources of revenue to make up enough money just to fund public safety.
Okay, and then I get lost. The next thing is on the second bill. I get lost somehow between the $14,535 and $11,215. Can you simplify that for me so I can grasp the difference?
There is a worksheet from King County on the preliminary.
Yeah, I know.
Their preliminary amount, and right down at the very, very bottom on the left, they calculate those dollar amounts. I don't know if you have that worksheet in front of you, but they show what we adopted last year for the base. And then down in that bottom section, they show, but their base was slightly different. And so because of that difference, even though we're going to adopt 14,000, the increase over base is only 11,000, and they calculate that because they've changed their beginning base from what you adopted last year because of their adjustments. These are
it's still
figures.
As clear as mud.
Yeah, they are figures they give us, and they say, even though your council adopted a base of 1,453,000, the first number on that column, we actually taxed 1,456,000. So they made some adjustments during the year between the base that was adopted and what tax they actually taxed
the citizens. And the difference between those is the 14.
It's the difference between the 14,000 and the 11. It's about $4,000.
Okay.
I think I'm getting it. And I
may come in tomorrow and try to explain it to you so we can see if I really got it. Thank you.
Mayor, mm-hmm. May I make a comment?
Yes.
I think one of the things that needs to be noted here is that May has provided this information from King County.
I understand that.
Okay. So, yeah, but I want to make sure that everybody in the audience understands this, too, is that this isn't something that the finance department came up with. These are numbers that are provided to us that we have to live with. And we don't generate enough property tax revenue to even fund the public safety that we need to have the city survive. And what is it, 64%?
Right.
So that other 36% has to come out of the general fund is basically what that means.
Or other general
funds. Other general funds,
And I might explain that last year when I brought the first property tax levy, I adopted 1% on that second ordinance, and that was the one we had to come back and correct because King County said, no, you have to go to my little bottom line and adopt this odd percent, even though it will be a 1% increase. So I think I finally worked through it with them so that I'm bringing you a proper ordinance tonight.
Anybody else? Do I hear a motion?
It's a public hearing.
It's not an action tonight.
I make a motion that we let the public speak.
Yes, this is just a public hearing tonight, and it was advertised in the paper. We'll have another hearing, and it'll be adopted. It proposed to be adopted in 2 weeks at the next council meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody want to speak to the public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next one is a public hearing on the proposed stormwater management plan. Mr. Butcher.
Good evening. I wanted to just give a brief introduction to what we're doing here and then give a chance for the public to speak on this issue. Each year we update the stormwater management plan. This year, one of the changes is they're renaming it to the Stormwater Management Program Plan. Most of the changes are change intents, things that we were planning to do. Some of those have become things we have done, and so we're just changing the tents of things. Probably the biggest changes are under illicit discharge. We've changed the protocol for reporting illicit discharge. We're now recommending that if there are illicit discharges that people notice, rather than call the hotline, they call 911. The hotline still is available. People can, if it's a non-emergency type things, but or call Public Works, that's fine as well. The other major change coming up this next year is we will be adopting the 2016 or 2012 Department of Ecology Stormwater Manual or equivalent. The major change that would bring is it would require low impact development incorporation into the city's codes. There's one change under education of the public, public education. We're hoping to get a grant for some survey work in cooperation with Covington and Maple Valley. We were not able to get that grant, so we're doing a smaller level online level survey, and that's a change that I have here I'd like to hand out. And I have extra copies I can leave up front. Well, this dates back quite a few years, and I think six years we've updated this, and we look forward to public comments. Thank you.
Is there anyone that would like to make public comments? Kristen.
Thanks again. I'm glad making the most of the meeting tonight, and thank you again for the opportunity to address you. regarding the stormwater management plan for the city of Black Diamond. My name's Kristen Bryant, and I'm at 1006 139th Place Northeast in Bellevue. I support the stormwater management plan's intent to continue to improve Black Diamond's stormwater management. My overriding concern is that stormwater be managed in the best way for the protection of our lakes, streams, wetlands, and the people that enjoy them and the animals that depend on them. The one thing I would like to address regarding the plan that has been prepared by the city for this year is the timing of the adoption of the 2012 Department of Ecology Stormwater Management Manual. Black Diamond's plan states that this manual will be adopted by the state's required deadline of December 31st, 2016. I am concerned that this leaves too much time where the city is not requiring the best management techniques. I submitted with my testimony one page of the executive summary of the 2012 manual. That's the fourth page of of these items stapled together. And this page has the major differences from the 2000 version. It was supposed to be highlighted, but my printer ran out of yellow ink. The changes are, first, the new manual improves the effectiveness in protecting water quality. It includes more low-impact development requirements and standards. And the manual has revised guidelines on protecting wetlands and designating infiltration facilities. I submit for your consideration that by not adopting the 2012 stormwater manual as soon as possible, it could actually be more work for the city of Black Diamond. There are a few reasons. The Yarrow Bay development agreements state that they will use low-impact development wherever possible. This means that the city should be measuring the development plans against LID standards, such as those in the 2012 manual. The second reason is that grant applications for projects that the city plans to do will certainly be more likely to receive funding if the latest LID and water quality standards are used. And as you may have heard, the third reason is many citizens aren't very happy to pay their monthly stormwater bill. But this tax is necessary because of past development that has been done in a way that does not capture and clean stormwater runoff from roads, driveways, buildings, and parking lots. Now everyone, and you all know that that's everyone in the county, it's not just a Black Diamond thing, but is left paying for the fixes and the cleanups. If any future development can be done to the best science and better standards, then we no longer have to push those kinds of fixes off on the taxpayers later. It would be great if eventually the stormwater tax that could be reduced because new development is being done better and older problems are being fixed. Finally, Black Diamond is not the same as other cities. It's very wet. This definitely creates, problems from some residents. Some people have experienced new flooding in their yards and basements after new development went in nearby. So Black Diamond can and should adopt an updated stormwater manual sooner. Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak on this public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item of business is resolution number 15-1047, authorizing addendum number 1 to professional services agreement with Stantec Consultant Services. Mr. Botcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. I'll give you a little background as to why we're extending this contract. We received a King County Community Development Block Grant several years ago now. This is federal dollars. They changed their rules, which excluded the city from eligibility on the grant. It took over a year to resolve that issue, which delayed the project, also put the bid of the project late in the year when typically bids are higher. And in the meantime, with the rebounding economy, the construction costs went up. We were also running out of time on our deadline for the grant. The granting agency did give us an extension, and this contract, however, runs out, and we need to extend it to provide the services that we need for the completion of the project. We expect to bid this out December, perhaps January, for construction spring, summer next year. With that, we reviewed this with the Public Works Committee and they recommended bringing it forward to you for approval. Thank you.
Once again, just in support of this, this is a grant that we, again, had received. There's no way to get it done at a reasonable cost in the time frame that we had authorized before. And my hat's off to staff for being able to get an extension, which is not always possible on grants. And that's all we're doing is extending this. So I clearly support it. And make a motion to adopt Resolution 15-1047, authorizing the mayor to execute Addendum 1, extending the professional services agreement, Resolution 15-1021, with Stantec Consulting Services, Inc., for the design engineering of the downtown AC water replacement project, water replacement and looping project.
Second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to make one comment, too, that everybody understand that this is only changing the date. It's not changing the cost at all. There's no financial impact to the city at this point.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next item on the agenda is Resolution Number 15-1048, authorizing a two-year on-call professional services agreement with Parametrics for Transportation Engineering Services. Mr. Boucher.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. the city routinely has needs for professional services in transportation engineers, and our on-call contract with Parametrics for Transportation Engineering Services is expiring, and we went through a selection process last year and again reconfirmed that, yes, we'd like to continue business arrangement with them for these types of services. The contract's been reviewed by our legal, and this is for kind of the little smaller types of services that we need typically in response to development within the city or smaller projects associated with one of our capital projects. So the funds typically come from development supported, capital projects supported. The operations and maintenance funds have very little funds available to support. The last page of your docket or of this packet shows the types of things that we have reviewed on the previous, the tasks that we have been provided by Parametrics on the last contract.
Go ahead.
Oh, you can go ahead. No, go first. Go first.
No. I'm waiting.
Okay. I am very surprised to see the Abrams Avenue project on your list here, because when I look at the scope of work that Parametrics is supposed to be responsible for, that Abrams Avenue guardrail project, I feel, missed the mark on just about every parameter, and I will have a hard time if this, if from my experience, I will have a hard time thinking of them as being able to supply us with the kinds of engineering that we need to have in this city. And that's all I'm going to say.
We've had experience now with the big three of the, at least that I'm familiar with, of the transportation consultants. DQS has been working on the comp plan. Transpo, who is the consultant associated with Yarrow Bay's development, as well as Parametrics. And I must say, obviously, Transpo's not a candidate and for doing regular engineering work for us as a result. DKS has been a pain in the butt, literally, in terms of getting them to get information done with respect to the comp plan, and is nobody that I could certainly recommend. And in talking with those that we've been working with closely on the traffic committee and others that are familiar with kind of the history of the transportation area, Parametrics stands at the top of the list. So I very clearly support this. And I make a motion to adopt Resolution 15-1048, authorizing the mayor to execute a two-year on-call professional services agreement for transportation engineering services with Parametrics, not to exceed $100,000.
Second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Still passes. Thank you.
Motion passes.
Oh, because the majority. Okay. Yeah. Motion carries. Okay, the next resolution.
There's supposed to be public comment on that?
No.
No. You could have commented at the beginning of the meeting. It's not a public hearing.
or at the end.
You can put comment at the end of the meeting. Next, resolution number 15-1049, authorizing an agreement with the Black Diamond Community Center. And this is for the city. We originally had the Black Diamond Community Center on our insurance. We are changing insurance carriers this year, and the insurance carrier won't carry insurance on an entity that the city doesn't own. So, but our new insurance is $10,000 cheaper than our other insurance was. So we are going to continue to support the Black Diamond Community Center by giving them those $10,000 in savings for their insurance. And their insurance quote is nearly that number. And so I was recommending that we approve the contract with Black Diamond that our attorney wrote with the Black Diamond Community Center, and that way we will be able to fund the insurance for the Black Diamond Community Center for next year. Councilmember Edelman.
Well, I'm all in favor of this. First of all, I think this Black Diamond Community Center provides a huge service to this community, not just to our seniors with their lunch program, but to the kids at the before and after school program, that I think there's some folks in this room whose kids actually participate in that. Mm-hmm. It is just a great community center, and I think we need to, as we've done in the past, support this group as much as we can. And as some of you may know, they do have their own financial situations. This is kind of a goodness thing this year. Doesn't mean we're going to be able to do it every year, but at least it gets the community center over their hump for 2016. So I'm in full support. Okay, so I make a motion to adopt resolution number 15-1049, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with the Black Diamond Community Center.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And we have Keith Watson here. He's the president of the community center, and he signed the letter and got it to us, and he got his attorney to approve the form. So we're really happy to be able to do that this year.
Thank you very much.
May I make one more comment, even though it's after the vote? there's been an awful lot of work that went into this agreement, both on the part of the mayor and staff, as well as the community center board of directors and everybody. And I think we all need to extend a great thank you to everybody involved, because without that group of people, this wouldn't have happened. So thank you.
I don't believe there are any department reports. Okay.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Just a quick kudos, since Seth is here tonight. On Tuesday, we served a search warrant at a residence over by Lake Sawyer, arrested a guy, and recovered about a little over $40,000 in stolen property. While I'm here, it's not for that. And it's the little things sometimes that make the biggest difference. But poor Kevin, I'm sure, gets tired of me calling and seeing my name, but it's always, hey, Kevin, can ya? But we had tons of property to remove from this house, and every time I call, Kevin is there without hesitation with the city trucks to transport, and he helped us for almost 4 hours removing property from this house. So huge thank you to Kevin. It's not the first time. He's always there at the drop of a dime to help us out. So just a thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Good job. So on my mayor's report, I've had a couple of public works meetings. We had a management meeting, a planning and community development meeting, two finance committee meetings, a fire ad hoc meeting, traffic and transportation ad hoc meeting. We had an emergency management meeting along with a presentation and a luncheon with Kevin again. And he's doing a great job. He's our new emergency management director. And last week we had a SCA networking dinner, and we had a work study on the public works budget. So do we have a report? Oh, let's see. Councilmember Deedy is not here. How about Councilmember Morgan?
I have a few questions that I'd like to bring up. One is, do we know what the actual deadline is for adopting the government facilities impact fee?
I can't remember if it's the 30th or the 1st. It's either
November
1st.
11th.
Yeah. November 11th?
Of 2015. Yeah. It's got an 11-month extension during the course of the PPC hearing last year.
Okay, thank you.
So that answers that question. And with that response, Madam Mayor, I would like you and us, the council here, to consider an emergency meeting of the council prior to the deadline date, so that we can have an executive session to consider an emergency ordinance.
Well, I'll have to discuss to that with to council.
To
I don't
delay,
know if that...
To delay this until next, this vote until next year somehow.
Well, I'm not I'm not sure that this fits the executive session. We could have a work study maybe, an emergency
That would work.
To discuss it.
That would work. That would be even better.
So we'll see what we can set up and we'll email you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I've had a busy couple of weeks. I participated along with the mayor and some of all the other candidates on the 19th. It was a candidate forum held at Kent Lake High School, and it was hosted by the Kent Lake PTA. On the 21st, I went to the Chamber of Commerce luncheon. On the 22nd, I met with Andy Williamson from the MDRT. The 23rd, I participated in the emergency preparation meeting. On the 24th was Make a Difference Day, and it didn't rain, and it was a lovely day to go pull Scotch Broom in the park. So I did that for a couple hours. I attended the Black Diamond Historical Society semi-annual meeting. On the 28th was the SCA networking dinner, which is a great place to go talk to other elected officials and find out what's going on in their communities. On the 29th was the Finance Committee meeting and the budget workshop, and then on the 30th I also participated in the public safety meeting. That's it.
Councilmember Goodwin. Okay, there's not an attorney's report, so it's time for our second public comments. Persons wishing to address City Council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. When recognized by the mayor, please come to the podium and clearly state your name and address. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you desire a formal agenda placement, please contact the city clerk. Is there anyone wanting to address council? Robin.
Robin Taylor, 32110 Botts Drive, Black Diamond. I attended the budget work study last Thursday, and part of that was going over the funding for emergency services for next year, the budget and whatnot. And Councilmember Taylor requested that the money for the study concerning going forward with looking at annexation into Fire District 44 or Mountain View Fire and Rescue be put in as a line item in the budget. And he was told that there's no need to do a study until the city's ready, and that won't be for about 2 or 3 years. And he was very adamant that he wanted money in the budget because now the ad hoc committee is at the point of actually hammering out a pre-annexation agreement, and it is starting to go through attorneys to get the wording in there. In other words, we are on the cusp. We are not 2 or 3 years down the road. We are on the cusp of moving forward. It was agreed to put $5,000 in a line item in the budget to put towards a study, with the thinking that in June of 2016, when budget revisions come up, that more money could be added. I would say that with the possibility of the outcome of this election, we cannot count on next year. In fact, Councilmember Goodwin's opponent stated in the forum held at the community center that he believed that the ad hoc committees were a waste of time and weren't really accomplishing anything. So if the opponents upset the incumbents, they will have the majority on the council and could stand to dissolve both ad hoc committee, the fire and the transportation committees. In that case, if that were to happen, 2 years of good hard work on the fire ad hoc committee is down the drain. And with that, Councilmember Taylor has been the driving force in this city, even before he got on the council, to improving fire services on this side of town. In fact, he went door to door, and I didn't bring it up with me, handing out a flyer that he printed up on his own money, on his own time, to use as public education. And it says on the back that the council has created this ad hoc committee because they're not willing to continue to kick this can down the road. This is a big problem. It needs to be taken care of, and we need to take care of it soon. The middle of September, my 80-year-old mother went down on the floor. She collapsed at our house. It was 12 minutes before we had emergency medical technical people show up on scene. 12 minutes. My mom's face was blue and her hands were blue. I thought she was going to die in my arms waiting for medics to show up. This is now, we are not a litigious family, so we're not going to sue the city, but I guarantee you someone out there is. And when someone's parent or someone's child up here on the outskirts of town is experiencing difficulty and they, heaven forbid, die from it because emergency response units were too far away, this city could be in a big boatload of trouble. I would suggest that you fully fund a study this year for next year's budget, that you put the full amount in there, because next year, council is not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. And I would argue, you put $5,000 in the emergency management fund, and I applaud you for that, but I would argue fire services is the first line of defense in emergency management. They are the ones that cut down the trees and pull them out of people's houses. They're the ones that take care of downed power lines. The fire services are your first line in emergency management, catastrophes, and disasters. They should be funded fully and equitably through the levy that we have going on. I'll say more at another time, but I really would hope that you would fully fund that study for next year, because we do not know what next year brings as far as the council goes. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak? Mike?
Mike Ergang, 22505 Southeast 329th Street, Black Diamond. I heard Councilman Goodwin's comments on how there weren't really any alternatives to parametrics that appeared viable. I would like to make a comment about parametrics that if they're for any projects that they work on for the city, they need to be overseen very, very carefully. A couple years ago, I was doing some investigations with Peter Rimbos related to the transportation issue, and he and I had a meeting with Parametrics reviewing some of the what we perceived serious holes in their transportation study. And just to give an example of one of the details that I'll never forget is when they were, in my opinion, seriously underestimating the impact of the MPD on traffic, they used the existing demographic of Black Diamond. And so they said with the current, whatever it is, 3,000 residents, they counted the number of trips that people make outside of Black Diamond on a daily basis. And they said the demographic was that some huge percentage of Black Diamond's residents had lived here all their lives and were retired and had their families living here in Black Diamond and did not leave the city. So therefore, when the population grew by 20,000 people, then the same percentage of people would have lived all their lives in Black Diamond and be living with their families who had grown up here and would not be making trips outside the city. And when confronted with this ridiculous statement, how can 15,000 more people magically appear that have lived here all their lives, they said, oh, well, it was an accepted practice to use an identical demographic. So I'm just saying, you've passed an ordinance, you're going to be working with them, you better review everything they do with a fine-tooth comb and not take their observations and conclusions as accurate. Thank you.
Cindy?
Cindy Wheeler, 30221 234th Avenue, Southeast. So I would like to tell you that I respectfully disagree with Mr. Goodwin and I appreciate his efforts on the transportation issues in the ad hoc committee, but I do not agree that transportation is the biggest issue that citizens in this town have. I think some of our biggest issues relate to financial security, and that means ours personally and the city's. I'm concerned to come to city council meetings and not see a city attorney present. And I'm not sure why that is, because, again, communication isn't so very good. But if this is a cost savings measure, it is a poor cost savings measure. It is penny wise and pound foolish. I pointed that out before. On May 7th, this council with staff went into an executive session without their municipal attorney. And they actually came out with an illegal action. They came out asking to do a legislative action, to start the assumption ordinance, and you can't do legislative actions in an executive committee. It'd be important to address Ms. Morgan's, and I appreciate her effort, to say what can we do to catch up and address this government mitigation fee before the 6-day deadline passes. Without an attorney here tonight, we're already dead in the water and wasting time to get an answer. I don't think that's okay. I was upset to get a PDR result this week that shows that the meeting, October meeting minutes of the Planning and Community Services Committee discussed, and I know you were present, Mayor Benson, discussed another fee that you guys let lapse with Yarrow Bay. You guys let expire the administrative support services portion that Yarrow Bay is supposed to pay. Now, I know at one point, meeting minutes weren't even being taken, and you had responded to me, Ms. Benson, that I was welcome to come take meeting minutes because you guys were so short of funds and staff to do so. I know that those have been resumed because it's been pointed out that it's a state law that you need to provide those meeting minutes. But you're looking surprised, so maybe you should get those meeting minutes from Ms. Kincaid. But I contacted her and asked her when that portion of the Yarrow Bay contract had been allowed to lapse, and she said because of the newness of her employee, she was not sure, but you all seemed aware of it. I know that all of these people aren't aware of it. So I would say to you, you know, we have a lot of things to manage. This isn't the first time we've all discussed that. There's a lot of expiration dates out there. Why Seth referred to the grant for your professional services with Stantec that expired. You know, you've also got a $440,000 grant for the Rock Creek Bridge project, and that expired in October. I'd be interested to know if you all were able to get a renewal of that grant, because
it didn't expire. It was extended to combined with the second grant, so it's $1.2 million.
For the Rock Creek Bridge?
Yes.
Okay.
There is no expired of that project. That project is on its way.
Okay. The PDR that I read, you had originally applied for the grant in October 13, and your schedule had indicated that you would have the work done by October 2015, which clearly you don't even have your HPA permit, so the work hasn't been completed. But that grant did expire. It's nice to know that it was renewed, but those are things that could be on your website and in your council report. They aren't things that we should have to guess at. And I'm very concerned that we had sources to support more administrative services, and somehow that was allowed to expire. We can't afford to let Yarrow Bay's portion of what they're supposed to be paying to make this big city go just be passed along and just passed. And I'm very concerned that you, the mayor, didn't even know what the deadline is. If the attorney were here tonight, I would ask. This is my notice, my legal notice for the PP2C hearing last December. However, I'm also a legal party of record on the development agreement. And during the Plat 2C hearing, you guys did a minor amendment to the village's development agreement to extend the deadline of this government mitigation fee for 11 months until November 12th of 2015. So it's a week from tonight. That amendment was noted in the staff report page of PP2C on page 176. However, those of us who are legal parties of record on the development agreement didn't receive a notice that there was a minor amendment made. You guys need more staff so you know when your deadlines are, so you give legal public notice, because those things have repercussion too. You know, Robin said you're at threat or in danger of lawsuit from people who have failed services. When you fail to provide people their due public notice, that puts you in jeopardy as well. We need to stop failing. I love this city. I've worked my ass off for the last 6 years to try and make things improved around here. It's very difficult when you don't all work together and the only people you come to for money is us and not the big guys.
Is there anyone else wishing to make comments? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.